Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax-deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
What's up, everyone? It is the last episode of 2013 for Nothing Urgent.
Last time we'll hear that interlude music. Or that intro music.
I might have to change up my intro. The what's up, everyone? I think maybe
that's so 2012.
I know. 2012 was actually what's up, honkies. But I was told to not use it anymore. No, not really. I was told not to play any urban music here. I shouldn't say that. That was actually said. I bring that up because that was actually said to one of our DJs at a show by a sound guy. So, but
Brooklyn,
I digress.
Brooklyn 2013.
Yeah, no urban music
towards a more urban 2014. Hopefully.
So yeah, we're sort of rolling solo this week. We're gonna have it's basically our year end recap. We're gonna kind of talk about the year in listicles, or everyone dropping their listicles at the end of the year because no one's doing anything.
Yeah, and why would you? Damn it!
I know
it's exhausting.
I would be lying if I said I don't look forward to these 2 weeks all year round, and it's not because of the holidays, which are nice. I like them, but it's because I know that no one is going to be working, so I don't have to feel this odd pressure to make sure that we're always producing content in some form or fashion. But we will be joined at the top of the hour, that's radio lingo for 7 o'clock, by our cohorts who also host a radio show at this time, because Impose is a highly organized organization.
so many tentacles spread across this great town.
We have two radio shows that are aired at the exact same time, but they're over on Newtown Radio. It's actually our photo editors, Eric and Edwina, and they'll be joining us at 7 o'clock to talk a little bit about the year in music. Impose posted our year-end best-of list, along with everyone else and their grandmother, so we can chime in a little bit about that. But before we do that, we're going to talk about Chris's realm a little bit. We're going to talk about the year in news.
News. Hopefully that phrase you just mentioned, producing content, I hope that's retired.
Yeah,
next
that's
year.
That's something that you can put on your hopefully year end list. That's a good New Year's resolution list.
To not use that phrase.
Yes, to not produce content.
Well, I mean, what else
write.
Would you just bear with me for a moment? What else would you call stuff that's not exactly writing? That's not exactly photos. It's just stuff. Other than content, what would you call it? Was there a term but in the dark ages before I came up?
I think it was just producing.
Was it always content?
I think it was something to do with content.
Like when you worked for AOL, what did they call it besides content? Anything? There's no other adjective. There's got to be another word.
No,
for
I don't think. You know, it's funny because I think that turn of phrase is relatively. I don't want to say new, but it's like as being as common as it is relatively new. So I don't know. They were probably just like, we need that such and such word long article.
Right, but it's used to describe something that is generally a catch-all for just crap, but you can't say crap, you have
right.
to say content.
Vomitorium. I do think what's kind of funny is that you think about word counts in like the print days, and they would have to like squeeze it into a smaller amount of pages, and now they try to stretch it out to like as many click-through pages as you can. So it's kind of like this ironic twist of fate. But let me ask you this question.
Ask me.
I'm holding in front of my face the top searches on Google for New Yorkers. I should clarify. This is not the world because we live in our own bubble here. What
it's the capital of the universe.
What do you think is the top search, people wise, in New York? This one
for anything?
For anything, yes. This is for the year 2013.
Oh man.
This one kind of took me by surprise.
I'm gonna say either what time is the Super Bowl or Anthony Weiner.
Okay, no, this is people only. What is different.
Anthony Weiner?
No, he doesn't even show up on the list.
Okay, can I do another guess?
Yes.
People. Oh God, Miley Cyrus?
She's number 10. This one took me by surprise. Now maybe it's because if they're taking into account all of 2013,
Hear them.
But number 1 is Paul Walker.
Well, okay.
Now,
here's what I have to say about that.
Go ahead.
Isn't that just because it's just so recent?
No, that's what I was going to say. And maybe that's the case, but this is taking into account all of 2013, though.
Right, but I'm just saying that, Paul Walker, well,
that one really struck me by surprise because...
But didn't he die during, a holiday weekend?
Maybe
so
that's
why. So everyone
was,
at home and bored and not doing anything, so they searched Paul Walker's death?
But see, I didn't even know he was that popular. I was having this conversation with Dana today, and apparently he was in a lot of, teen movies that I wasn't aware of.
Full disclosure, I watched Varsity Blues last night.
Is he in that?
For the first time. He plays the star quarterback in Varsity Blues.
These are things I don't know.
Who gets injured. Joe, have you seen that film?
I haven't, but what I was going to say is I think that these Too Fast, Too Furious, Fast 5, Furious 6, all those movies are much more popular than you and I or all of us might believe.
Well, I understand
that.
They
make so many of those
movies. But I do feel like that's also a very cult thing, if you were to say, I don't know. I mean, I get that. But if you were to be Vin Diesel died, it would have been okay, I understand. But this is a guy, I guess he was in every movie.
I think Roger Ebert said that he was, or some famous critic said he was the most beautiful actor of our generation or something.
Maybe that's, see, I just.
I don't know. All right, who's number 2?
Number 2 is Corey Monteith. Is that how,
who
am
is,
I saying it
who
right?
Is
He's
that?
The dude from Glee who died this year.
Oh.
So, see, there's a trending pattern here of people who died. Kid Craddock, do you know who that is?
No idea.
That's number 3. We might need some help from our production booth. Adrian Peterson, number 4, football player. Jody Arias.
No idea who that is.
Nelson Mandela, number 6.
Wait, who's that?
He's joking. Even though we don't play urban music. Johnny Manziel, number 7, football player. Amanda Bynes, number 8, my love. Aaron Hernandez, the much aligned football player who is up for murder.
Right.
And Miley Cyrus, number 10. Now, the reason why I read these all down is because I read something in the Washington Post today that Edward Snowden is not showing up on any of the top Google searches, and there's a little bit of a conspiracy floating around that maybe that's on purpose.
In what way?
In the way that they're purposefully excluding him from year-end lists.
The thing is, Google uses those proprietary formulas all the time, and they hide things, like Google ranking.
Right.
Like, some of that science is known, but some of it isn't. Like, some of it they keep hidden anyway. So, conspiracy, but at the same time, you might as well... I mean, Google, the company, is a conspiracy, it's a...
I understand what you're saying, but I do think that's kind of interesting. I actually tweeted at our, Andy Greenberg, our sort of Forbes correspondent, because he recently wrote a story about a former NSA or a former coworker of Edward Snowden who kind of painted him in a very bright light, a very, very nice editorial about him, saying that he was a genius, basically.
Well, that list, though, I don't think...
I mean, Kid Craddock. Joe, can we get a little Kid Craddock? It's spelled with K's, by the way.
Goggle
I'll look that up.
Bing that for us.
I'll Bing that.
To me, though, I don't think that's a very good... looking at a Google search list, what does that really mean?
It's kind of flawed, right? It's like a private company.
Right.
They could change whatever they wanted. There's no one auditing them, right?
That's precisely what I just said. And not only that, but it's what is that? Are those supposed to be the stories that were most important to us, the consumers? Or are they the stories we want to know the most about?
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. And you can say, you can make that argument just by looking at this list of names. Because, for instance, Pope Francis is not on the list, even though he is that his last name or his first name?
Well, okay. he the Pope takes a name That's not his name at all.
Right, but
the Pope takes a name when he becomes Pope. So his
but, you know,
name,
he's like person of the year, and you venture to say that he would probably show up on a list like this, and he's not. So I do feel like, you know, we're, you know.
It's, well, New York City is a godless city.
And we are a very
superficial,
entertainment-based,
well,
you know.
Right.
You know, culture in general.
Well, you think New York, maybe Stop and Frisk or something would be on there.
I know.
Kid Craddock is a Texas-based radio personality that died in July.
See?
What did he die of, Joe?
I didn't get that far in the Wikipedia article yet.
It is definitely, we're laughing about people's deaths. It's definitely a death-driven list.
We are a macabre people.
He's also one of the top trending searches of the year. Do you know, if you had to guess, what is the top what is Google search? Like when you put in what is?
Oh, man. What is, I don't know, still, what time is the Super Bowl?
I thought that was a good.
What is twerking?
Did you just guess that?
I just guessed that.
That is the number
Holy
one.
Oh,
shit.
Really? I won.
Yes, that is the number one. But you know, to be fair, this is definitely people that want to be a little bit more enriched in their life. What is Doma is the second one. What is ricin is the third one. What is Passover for, you know, our Gentiles out there. What is MS, also very macabre. I'm assuming they mean the disease and not like, you know,
an Microsoft word or
an unwed mother or unwed woman, Ms.
What?
Isn't that what, Ms.?
Yeah,
like Ms.
But no. All right.
What is Snapchat? What is hashtag? This one also, going back out to our friend Andy, what is Bitcoin? Which, well, I think I might have Googled that, actually.
Well?
In our talks. What is Vine and what is Barbacoa? Do you know?
It's like braised pork, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's like
that's the 10th like, most. Like, come on, really?
Man, tacos. Tacos were big in 2013.
A lot of people were going to Chipotle and being like, I want to eat something, but I don't know what that one is.
And so. I'm scared to ask the guy with the ladle what it is. Yeah. So I'm just going to sit here and stare at my electronic device for 5 minutes.
Maybe this is a good sign for New Yorkers, actually, because you know what? The important news topics, maybe they don't need to Google. Maybe they're like, I already know about, you know, George Zimmerman or something like that, you know? Those two didn't even show up. Him or Trayvon Martin aren't
well,
on
one,
the list.
Well, another way to read that would be is that we're so solipsistic and we only navel-gazy. We only care about what's going on, you know, here. We
maybe.
Don't care about anything else.
Maybe. I do wish I had the list in front of me. I could probably Google it, but I don't want to do it. The full list, I mean, not the New York-centric list.
Wait, okay, you've lived more years than me.
I like reading from the newspaper, by the way. We got to do this more often.
It's like what Pat Kiernan does at New York One.
Yeah,
he sits
I like, he's
paper.
Dreamy. He's dreamy.
He is dreamy. I've met him. He's a really nice guy.
He seems like it.
So you've lived more years than me. Has it always been at the end of the year this just sort of giant wringing of hands? And, you know, did people used to care who the time number one person was? I mean, was any of this shit?
Yeah, a little bit.
I give a shit about any of this
stuff? I think it goes back to what you were saying about just people taking the time off and need an excuse to run. You know, I look across the board. It is, but it's just like an excuse for downtime. You know, it's like newsmakers, year of this, you know, the year in this. You know, I think it's more of just a product of people want a vacation. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we've been planning our list at Impos for the last month. Not, you know,
but that's a reflection of our taste. That's not a reflection of like what's going to get us the biggest hit, the most hits, or what's going to.
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's funny. Everyone bitches about year-end lists, but in the end, they still drive more traffic than most other things. You know, any kind of listicle. It's not just year-end list. But I do feel that. I mean, the reason I was like, let's plan out our year-end coverage now is because I was like, I want to be able to us to like just basically sign off the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's. So, and I think that's kind of a common sentiment.
What do you think the biggest story, the quote-unquote biggest story of this year was?
In news? Just
yeah,
in news in
news.
General?
In anything. I mean,
I think it's the Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin story. That's why I was kind of surprised. He does come up in politics and news in as the Zimmerman trial. In number 10, I would say that's the biggest because that opened up a wide spectrum of like, you know, underlying racism that's been kind of brewing since Obama has become president, which is, you know,
even before then.
Yeah, I know it's been, but that's just kind of like hit the nail on the head. You know,
I was going to say that the Edward Snowden stuff was bigger, but now I sort of agree with you because it really, that verdict came down. I mean, I covered that huge march that was here and it's a, I mean, you know, and it still hasn't been alleviated and he was arrested, I think, one or two more times, right? Or something.
Yeah. Now he's going to lead. Did you get? This is another. You guys might have posted this. I don't know where I saw it, but did you hear that he is posting a painting? He's posting his paintings on eBay.
No.
And they're going for like thousands upon thousands of dollars now.
I mean, at least as horrible as that whole verdict was and everything that went along with the case, and as horrible as his death was, at least we're talking about it.
Right.
And at least some people are Googling it, although not more than Paul Walker, apparently.
No.
not
more. You know what's interesting is that West Texas explosion is on the list.
Well.
And we're in New York, so this goes against your theory about it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That was a big deal. I remember seeing it.
Seeing
it on the news, but yeah.
Well, and that was a really good primer on what happens when you deregulate state government and government just in general to the point where no one cares that a factory is full of hazardous conditions that lead to crazy explosions. Rick Perry,
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah. I would say one other of the biggest news stories of the year, and this is kind of a setup for you, but I would say that one of the biggest news stories of the year is the e-cigarette. Now, I say this is a setup because, you know, as we were just talking about before we got on the air, New York has now, who is it, the Chamber of Commerce? Who is that? Who is it that banned it?
So the city council today, their health committee, after a hearing 2 weeks ago, the health committee voted to ban the use of electronic cigarettes in public places where normal cigarettes are banned. So they took Bloomberg's world famous law that, you know, saved a lot of lives of New Yorkers, and they tacked on this e-cigarette provision to that law, basically treating it as a tobacco product. And they did that today, and so the full vote's tomorrow, but it, you know, in a few months, you won't be able to use an e-cigarette in a bar or a restaurant or anywhere else. Yeah,
I mean, I know people that were smoking them in the office as well. So it is kind of and the reason why I say it's one of the biggest stories of the year. Obviously, it's just a product or whatever, but the debate is still pretty wide open. I think it's going to be something that but you wrote a huge article about it earlier this year, and I think as a product goes, it's one of the bigger, you know, because it touches on so many topics. You know, obviously the addiction that you have with nicotine, but then also whether or not it's actually a tool to get off of that addiction, and just basically how it's, you know, how we look down on this act almost. Well,
and this year was a big year for personal freedoms in New York City, right? You had the soda ban being talked about and being struck down by the court several times. I mean, Bloomberg, I personally agreed with the soda ban. I thought that was a good idea, but
I disagree.
Well,
I just don't think they should be able to. I think my rule of thumb is if it affects someone else, then bring it into consideration. If it doesn't affect someone else, then, you know.
Well, the flip side of that coin is diabetes and bad health brought on by excessive consumption of sugar affects all of us as taxpayers, right? So those people are certifiably a drain on all taxpayers, so why should we subsidize their
That's a much
habit?
Deeper conversation, because then you but get into should we subsidize healthcare instead, preventative measures,
right?
And also the amount of lobbying that the corn syrup industry or the corn industry has on our government.
Big syrup.
I mean, it's true.
I mean, you're listening right now.
So it's kind of like, you know, that's why I think it's a little bit of a, you know, free market discussion.
No, I agree. But
anyway,
point. You see my point, is that New York has done a lot. They just banned, or they're about to ban styrofoam,
which I am for,
right? And that won't come into effect for another year, but still. So New York is, I mean, banning e-cigarettes is along the line of its trend of trying to regulate personal sort of decisions, and not regulate, but even just steer people in the right direction. So e-cigarettes fit nicely into that category.
But I think the issue that I was having more with it, and I'm sure this is the argument that everyone's making about, is there's no one knows. I mean,
right.
For all we know,
okay,
it's just smelly water. And what if, and then what if the, or vapor, Joe was laughing when I said smelly water, smelly vapor. So what happens if they come back and they're like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this?
That's a good question. Well, I think once laws are passed, they're difficult to undo, obviously. But in this case, I think if the tobacco industry, and at this hearing 2 weeks ago, it was pretty boisterous. All the e-cig people were smoking or vaping in the in
including
during
Jesse
the hearing.
Gladys, who we've had on the show, yep. Bedford Slims.
So they were all there, and they were pretty unsympathetic witnesses, frankly. They were all being pretty boisterous and obnoxious. But you know, Lorillard was there, and their representative said, "We have a study that's coming out in a few months that shows that the vapor is harmless and that there are no, you know, identifiable significant toxins in it." So if the science does come out that it's harmless to people around, then I think you will see Big Tobacco sort of throwing their weight against the city council, which will be de Blasio's city council, which will be Melissa Mark Vivierto, who is probably going to become speaker. She's very liberal. I can't imagine her sort of, I mean, I'd be surprised if they just sort of laid down in front of the tobacco companies, you know?
Right.
So
right.
It'll be interesting. If the science does prove that they're harmless or mostly harmless, then you will definitely see people trying to overturn this law. But, you know, their problem was, the advocates for passing this law, was that we don't know is the same excuse the tobacco companies have used previously,
right,
even
right.
when all the studies pointed in the right direction.
Right.
So, I mean, the question is, when does something become scientific fact?
Right.
Well, technically never, you know. So, but you're right. There is no good literature on the subject, and that is,
I guess, until we've lived long enough where people are, you know, only smoking e-cigarettes, and then we start seeing if people are dying or,
yes.
you know, contracting cancer from that.
Joe, what did you think the biggest story was this year?
I was going to say probably something along the lines of, like, problems with the Affordable Health Care website, you know? Mm. That's a pretty big story. I feel like every time I'm listening to, you know, some sort of news radio, that's all that they're talking about.
That's what the man wants you to think. Yeah. No, actually, yeah. It doesn't come up on, well, maybe New Yorkers, they can afford their own health insurance, but that doesn't come up in trending searches and or political searches.
That means it's wrong, Joe. That means it's wrong.
Government shutdown.
Apparently, I don't listen to the radio enough.
Government shutdown.
Honestly, Joe, I thought when you said affordable, I thought you were going to say income inequality, because that's a big topic.
It's a big topic, but I feel like that was really, you know, Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah,
that was the big story of that year.
That was 2012. That's actually what I was thinking when
that was 2011 and 2012. But, yes.
But yeah, when I was looking down the list, that was one of the things I was like, you know, I was talking about Trayvon. When you asked me what my top news story was, I was like, and you were talking about the marching, I was like, it kind of took on that Occupy type of vibe of 2013.
Well, do we have a musical interlude this week, or are we just gonna?
We do. We're gonna talk at length about how everyone's music list, Impos excluded from that, and I'm sure there'll be a few others that pop up. I look very, very similar, eerily similar. But before that, we're gonna play the band that came in number 10 on our list, and then I'll follow it up with the band that came in number 1 on our list, and that's be how we'll kick off our music discussion. This is La Luz, I think I'm the reason why they're on this list. One of my two additions, but this is Pink Slime from La Luz, came out in Hardly Art. This is our number 10 favorite record of the year.
We'll be right back. ever in the world.
And we're back. We're making radio history today as the first radio show to call their coinciding radio show at the same time. We have Eric and Edwina. They are our photo editors for Impose, and they're going to help us discuss the year in music. How are you guys doing?
Great. We also have Chief Boyma, who's our guest from Daddy Arts. So there's at least five of us talking about year-end stuff.
This is a very complicated situation we're trying to pull off here. Well, let me ask you this. Before we get started on everything else, why don't you give me a run? What was your favorite record of the year?
Who? You mean?
You, Eric, should go.
I don't have, like, a favorite record of the year. I have, like, about 20 of them. I don't know. I can't distill it into one. I can't even think about it now that you've got me on the spot. And this Edwina, go.
I feel like my favorite one that I've listened to a lot because of Eric is Yvette.
All right.
Process. That's a good one. That's a good loud one to listen to at home. I tend not to listen to a lot of new music just because with work and doing photo sets and shooting, I just don't have the spare time to actively check out music unless I'm at a concert and I hear something and then I'm like, okay, I need to buy this right now.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up. Being that you guys are photo editors, do you guys have a favorite show of the year or a favorite live event that you guys were at that kind of, you know, encapsulated your 2013?
I would say one of my favorite shows was Killer Mike at NYU, just because Killer Mike's a huge artist, and there was really no one at the show. Like, I would say less than 200 people, and it was like $4. Esquire opened, and it was just awesome. Like, he put on a show, like, it was sold out. He went into the crowd, he danced, he signed autographs and took photos after the show. So that was a really cool show for me to see. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any, like, live thing that, like, really stands out. Maybe, like, Fuzz and Pampers at DBA. That was a good one. God, it was just exceptionally loud and just exceptionally, like, just a hell of a lot of fun. Pampers are great. They put out a great album this year.
They are nice and mean. I really like them.
Yeah, I actually got thanked in their acknowledgments on the album.
It's a great name, by the way. I love that name, except for when you're trying to look them up. That's like, you know, they're like the women of 2013, trying to find them online.
Yeah.
And they have no website. Like, I don't even think they have a Facebook, so it's just like you have to be committed to finding any information on them.
You have to be in the know. I'm certain that that's probably changed. They got
signed in the red. Yeah.
I do wonder about that, though, because there's got to be some sort of legal ramifications to having that name.
No, I don't think so. I mean, when you pamper, you know, like Pampers, you could just say
I'm sure it's trademarked.
No.
I'm sure they can't sell t-shirts or things like that. You know, that's where it comes into, that's where it gets tricky. Well, I mean, I know they can, but I'm saying, you know, that there's probably some legal ramifications there. All right, so let me ask you this then. Here's I'm going to go on another little, what was your thoughts on just like the year-end list in general? Have you looked at any? Are you those type of people that kind of avoid? For those people that are listening, I might know some of these answers, but Eric and Edwina, you know, we don't talk often enough, so I'm asking them as friends and also as you know,
knowledgeable beings.
Co-radio hosts that host a show at the exact same time so we can't listen to each other.
Technically, I really don't pay attention to lists, mostly because this week I've been in training learning things. So I've kind of quickly, like, I've seen the Impose stuff because that's what I go to first. So I know what we've said, and I know how polarizing our choices can be, especially since I feel like the other music sites...
our choices.
Yes,
Like,
Impose's choices compared to other music sites, other mainstream things. So I'm definitely proud of some of our choices that we kind of went off the grid, kind of. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you mention that because you dropped mainstream in there, and I think it's kind of because we were actually having this discussion today as where else can you look? Where else do you look? You know, it's like you look at a Pitchfork, you look at a Stereo Gum, you look at a...
Vader do lists?
I think they do. But, like, you know,
yeah,
and I can only look at so many lists that have... Kanye and Drake, mm-hmm. And I was really thrown off by Haim. I couldn't believe that they threw Haim in there. This, I'm talking about Pitchfork. And they also had... like
Arctic Monkeys and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, and they listed Vampire Weekend as their number one, which totally blew my mind.
Oh.
As the Elle magazine also did this year. Their top two were exactly the same. I didn't read beyond that. But, and furthermore, I'm not trying to, like, pump up Impos. I mean, I should be. But, like, I was actually...
you founded it all.
But I actually am very proud of the fact, too, because all of our comments were like, I've only heard of a few of these bands. And, you know, like, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I felt like everyone was in the know on, like, what else was out there. And now there's so few sites covering anything different. I'm sure Ad Hoc's list will be pretty commendable, but I don't think they've put theirs out yet. You know, there's so few sites covering anything else. That kind of, like, blew my mind more than anything. Not that, like, ours was different, because we try to, you know, we put what we listen to. Like, we're not listening to Kanye in the office. I mean, he might have put out one of the best records, but we don't know because we weren't listening to it. But that said, you know, it really blew my mind that so many people were like, oh, I only know a few of these bands. I mean, it's like, ours wasn't even that weird. It was like Dirty Beaches, you know, like LaRue's, you know, places that were, for the most part, covered in these outlets, you know, whether it be a big source like, you know, Pitchfork or other smaller sites. That's why I brought it up. I didn't know. I needed to touch on that a little bit. Me and Dana actually had a nice little debate today about whether or not Pitchfork's role in music is really to provide anything independent anymore. And I was kind of defending them in the sense that I was like, I don't think that's their role anymore. And she was kind of...
Well, let's be honest. Were they ever? I mean, I don't think that they actually, like, were really starting trends or anything. They were just, like, reporting on stuff that they were finding in other places. What they had is they had, like, kind of like a budget just through the ubiquity of their presence online. They had the budget to be able to pay people to do, like, these long, in-depth things and to actually, like, pay reviewers. So they got, like, this illusion of depth, but the actual content was never like anything really innovative.
Well,
you know?
I never, you know, I didn't read them religiously, but I did read them, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. But they used to be way more skeptical. There used to be way more skepticism in their voice. I mean, is that, am I off base there?
Well, I think Eric, you touch on 2 points. First of all, the budget came later after the fact, but you do make a point about when they started as like strictly online, they were able to just kind of like say whatever they wanted. But I think to another generation, meaning the ones slightly below mine, slightly younger than me, they grew up on it. And I think to them it's a little disenfranchising to see like what they've become when you grew up like looking to them to find what was the cool new indie source. And you're right. You know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there were so many other people that was like print hadn't died yet, quote unquote. So there was still like you could rail against major media to without having to be like, fuck them. You'd just be like, oh, here's something different than, you know, the same 10 records that are going to be covered in every print magazine. And so, like, I think there's a sense of like, why would they, you know, I mean, why do each one of their writers say Drake is in their top 10? Like, don't they have anyone there that's going to question authority to a certain extent, you know? But I think, you know, my point was that's not their role anymore. Their role is major. I know people that don't know music industry, and to them, Pitchfork is like Rolling Stone. I've actually had someone ask me when I was like, oh, yeah, you know, people are like blown away that Pitchfork isn't as indie as they used to be. And I verbatim, someone I work with said, they cover indie music? Like, did not know. Like, literally just saw them as, like, a mainstream music outlet. And I think that's what people need to understand is, like, this is no knock on them. It's just, like, where they are.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly harder to justify, like, the stance of the indie if you're trying to pay for a festival, you know? Pay for a festival and pay to, like, do showcases at other festivals.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like it's the BuzzFeed Books model, sort of, in a way. It's like, you know, people don't like negativity as much. And everyone seems to be trading in who can, like, you know, who can wax poetic on pop culture the best, right? And people like reading that. It's positive. It's interesting to them. And that, but at the same time, that sort of crowds out any sort of dissenting voices and makes things a lot less interesting, I guess, to me as a consumer of this stuff.
I mean, I can point to the writers on there. I don't want to turn this into a Pitchfork criticism. That's not what I meant. It was actually more about the, like the... When Dana brought it up, she was like, I want to write this editorial about the fact that, like, why aren't they just, you know, why don't they take the time to prop up bands that, you know, they can filter them in, you know, in between the Drakes and Kanyes. And
but don't they do that though?
Yeah,
like,
they kind of
do that in addition. I mean, one of the things that that kind of drives me crazy is like, well, why do they have like Drake? Why is R. Kelly headlining like their festival? But then like I start to look at like towards the bottom of the flyer, and they are like sort of championing these smaller acts and these smaller artists. So I mean, they are like providing at least a slight outlet.
I agree to that, but I also am wary of those decisions because I feel like a lot of them are based on something that they can get behind because they know it's gonna blow up. Like, they've said in the past, like in 2010, we posted an article that we posted in 2010 where Scott Plagenhoff, I think I'm saying that right, the old music editor, actually came out and said, listen, we're not, you know, our role is not necessarily music journalists. Our role is like A&R. We're going to dictate who's going to kind of be big. So you look at across the board, you look at like A Perfect Pussy or, and there's a very...
Yes, let's look at A Perfect Pussy. Is everyone looking at A Perfect Pussy right now?
But okay, I'm saying they're very... these are all very marketable and, you know, the same... I always use this example. The reason why
I would not call Perfect Pussy marketable.
I would disagree. I would say there's so much more like angry female fronted music that like, you know, and I actually like them. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. But the argument that I always make is why Best Coast over the Vivian Girls? You know, and like mm-hmm. and Best Coast went on to be the one that was on Target commercials and like, you know, all these other places. So again,
opening for Green Day.
Yeah, and like you know, teach their own. Yeah. I mean, it's not a opinion that I'm trying to wield. It's more like looking at it from a factual point of view. But we're not bashing on.
Well, I actually do want to bring something to both of our audience's attention. That Pitchfork actually did do something that was really kind of unexpected and crazy. They went out to like all these like gutter punks and basically, or not gutter punks, that's like, but acts like Pampers, Bill Biloxi and the Fox and so on and so forth. And they created this gargantuan like one page article, which were all these people's best of. It was like their best gigs, their best albums and stuff like that. And it was like stuff that they would never cover, like never give any sort of like shine on. But then all of a sudden, like you see these people and they have like this inclusion in this year-end list, and that was just absolutely amazing to me.
You're talking about that list, it was like their garage guy.
Right, right.
And then, yeah.
Well,
Presley was on that list. And
they're very business savvy, let's put it that way. They know their business model, they're top-down, so they go with the big stuff. And then you have these other writers, and this is kind of what I was going to point out before. You have the Jen Pelly, who's kind of like the Brooklyn DIY person. You have Brandon Stusoy, who's like the metal guy. And then you have that guy, I think it's Evan something, I can't remember his name, but he's like the garage punk guy. And so it like makes sense because then they can branch those off, and like I'm not going to get into the whole marketing aspect of it, but they can, if they want, right, they can create verticals. They're just like, here, sell into our hip-hop stuff, sell into our punk stuff.
Derek has a laser pointer right now and he's pointing at a PowerPoint inside the shed.
It's getting really creepy. His old man cane,
it's getting, yeah, it's getting really creepy.
Okay.
You don't walk,
okay, yeah, that was under like the, I just looked it up, it is under like the Shake Appeal thing, and it looks like,
right,
that is a call,
but that, but that said,
stuff.
I don't, that actually, I'm sort of like, I'm very 100% behind. My issue is that then you look down their like staff picks list, like, you know, and
why the hell would you do that?
And they'll still all have Drake on their list, and I'm like, is that just because you're listening to it in the office with everyone else? I mean, I know he's prolific, and you know, he used to be on a Canadian television show, but I don't know. I find it hard to believe
he was in a wheelchair on that show.
I know. I was saying
that's why he's on all their lists. They feel bad. He was disabled.
But anyway, I digress. I really did not want to turn this into a Pitchfork. We love you.
The question that you asked earlier was: Are there other people's top 10 lists that you're paying attention to? And the answer is yes. The only other like major list that I really paid attention to was the Passion of the Wife one, because very few people cover hip-hop that I like. And Passion of the Wife always has at least interesting stuff, even if I don't agree with it, like when they were pushing Migos really hard this year. Like, it's not my thing, but like they do cover like a lot of other stuff that's very fascinating, like Curly Castro, Zilla Rocka, and all of them.
And I just thought of the Village Voice hip-hop list that
Philip
did.
Oh yeah,
I remember
his
last name.
That was
good. He contributes for us.
Yeah,
but,
there are a few like really good hip hop writers that are out there right now. Two of which I think are Blake Gillespie and Philip Molinar. I think I'm saying that correctly. And like you said, he came up with a really good list.
That's the last name I didn't want to try to pronounce.
Now, would you...
We can't pronounce things properly. That's what our guest is learning today.
Now, let me ask you, we've got to run pretty quick, because our show, unlike yours, is only an hour long. But let me ask you this. Eric, you brought up hip-hop. Do you have... We are going to announce on Monday our Rapper of the Year. I can't say who that is, but who would be
Drake.
Damn it! I would say Kanye, but I think he only produced 0.5% of his own record. But no, who would you say is your Rapper of the Year?
2013 was an extraordinarily strong year for hip-hop.
It definitely was.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like the instant knee-jerk reaction is to say Danny Brown for Old, which is just a phenomenal fucking record. But I mean, there was just so much other stuff that came out.
Drake.
I don't know.
And would you? Chris said Drake again. Would you agree with World's Fair being our top ranked hip hop album?
No. it's a good one. I like the up-tempo energy. I like that there is like that sort of return to like
Onyx Collective.
Yeah, to like sort of collective hip hop. And you also saw it with like Bitches Is Crazy this year. And you sort of saw like this sort of return to Cruz in general. Which was very, very cool. Or at least in New York you saw them, because you saw like loose affiliations of people like with Beast Coast, Flatbush Zombies, also had like good push this year. So it's nice to see that rappers can succeed as more than just solo acts with a ton of features. But I don't know. I mean, World's Fair, it's a good record, but I mean, I didn't listen to it as much as I listened to other stuff.
Yeah, I asked you because I genuinely respect your opinion regardless, but I do feel like you have a very good read on hip-hop. You're the one that's always out at a bunch of shows. My vote was for YC the Cynic, but I did not get I did not get approved on that either.
Oh, you know what? I will actually go on record and I will say that Billy Woods is my Rapper of the Year.
That's
absolutely 100%, like no doubt. Danny Brown is like a very close second. But what Billy Woods was able to do with the amazing Dour Candy, and also with Elucid for
Arm and Hammer,
yep. Like that was just like very good. He was able to do a very good solo record that was very different from his previous solo record.
And reviewed on Pitchfork.
And then he was also able to do like the sort of crew duo album with Elucid on. For Arm and Hammer, and he was just able to touch on like a wide variety of different topics. He was able to do it in different tonalities. He maintained like his identity, even though he was able to switch. He was able to maintain like a cohesive identity, even though he was just a sort of chameleon like with his ability to move in and out of various characters and work with different producers and work with different other rappers, you know. So I think that he is definitely like my number one. Also, apparently he makes really good ribs. So
I was going to throw Ka out there.
Ka is really good, but Ka released one album.
Okay.
Billy Woods released like three.
Got it.
That's a very good. That's a very good argument that you've given for Billy Woods. I think you'll find that maybe our managing editor has a little bit of West Coast bias, but that will be my only hint. That'll be my only hint for our Rapper of the Year.
So it's Drake, right?
Okay.
Well, guys, we have to run because we've only got a few minutes to wrap up the show, but thank you for taking the time. I think we need to do this more often.
Do this again.
Yeah, I think it's got to become a regular thing. I'm surprised we haven't thought about it sooner. And you know, it just goes to show that not only we plan so poorly that we have radio shows at the exact same time, but that we fail to realize that technology can bring us together for a half hour once in a while. So,
from an engineering standpoint, that was quite the move that I did. I'm going to congratulate myself.
Yes.
I'm going to say radio move of the year goes to Joe Galarraga putting two radio shows together.
Yes, I would say that he does.
Thank you.
He gets radio engineer of the year. Well, guys, Until next time, I don't know if I'll see you because we've already had our holiday parties, but, you know, happy holidays, and hopefully I'll see you before the new year.
All right, same to you.
Bye.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So, yeah.
Really great group of kids over there.
I know. Great people. No, I mean, I don't think there's two more dedicated photo editors than what we have, and I say that sincerely, not just because of their work ethic, but so many people shout out to them on Twitter and shout out to them just like they're that, you know, they know bands know them more than they know us, because writers sit behind a desk and are you know, staring at a computer. They're out there at the shows, and anyone that follows our Instagram would know that there's every day, tons of shows. We have 3 to 4 photo posts a day. You know how many shows that is?
Yeah,
like it blows my mind.
Yeah, and they're very modest about it.
Yes, so. More than modest. They are. I mean, they're just incredible people. But so yeah, we're tying things up here. We're wrapping up our end of the year. I'm trying to think of a nice way to, you know, put it in a nice package.
To segue, what was your favorite show this year?
Oh, man, that's tough, because I want to say something Diarrhea Planet related.
I meant radio show.
Oh, our favorite radio show of the year? Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go out. I'm going to say it was twofold. Threefold. It's going to be...
No, you got one choice.
I get one choice, Marnie Stern. I mean, that was the most fun interview, I think, and that was just last week for anyone that's listening now. That was my favorite, I think.
Okay. I'm going to go with Shannon and... That the Cicada Expert.
Yeah, that was up there as well. That was going to be
strange,
one of the ones.
Combination, but it worked, and I thought that interview went really well.
Yeah, and the first time that we had Andy on the
show,
Chris,
that wasn't an episode.
Wait.
Oh, no, they were
they were different shows, so you just broke your own rules.
Yeah, who did we interview with, Shannon? She was by herself, right?
She was by herself.
Yeah, that was a full... We did with So-So Glows was the Cicada Expert.
Cicada?
Oh, yeah.
Or was that Amanda?
Oh, no, man. That was Amanda for Northside.
Yes.
Oh, man. We're all blowing
it. So many people, so many interesting interviews. I was actually, when I was pitching today, our show, I was just looking through the list. And we've had an incredible year, I've got to say, for our first run on Heritage Radio. Joe, are the heads happy with the work we're doing here, would you say? Would you say the people with the money in their pockets?
Is Dick Clark upstairs happy with the work we're doing?
I can tell you this, you're not fired in 2014.
Yet. But yeah, I mean, I think it's been a great year. I would say Marnie Stern. That was my favorite interview, mainly because we got to discuss my infatuation with Yoko Ono. But that aside,
that's for another show. We'll get Yoko on in 2014.
That would be great. I guess, you know, we're going to take it out with that.
If anyone's still listening, they should come to the Brooklyn Night Bazaar on this Saturday.
It's Gotham's show. That's
free show.
That's where we were last week. We did a show with Diary Planet and Big Ups. I was actually, let me just say, you asked this, and this, I want to get this off my chest. My favorite show of the year, and it's a little bit self-serving, but the Impo South by Southwest show that Big Ups actually played, it was the one that Diarrhea Planet played, New Sensei played it, Destruction Unit played it. And it was in like a 200 capacity bar. That was, I think, my favorite show. And it was also the one that we were all like happily, you know, intoxicated at the end of the night. So I would say that's my favorite one.
I agree with you. That was a really fun show.
Yeah, that was.
I like that one. That was great.
Yeah. And that, you know, let's end it with something, you know, a little self-serving. But yeah, if you're around Saturday, Gothamist is having their Brooklyn Bazaar show. So-So Glows are playing. And otherwise, guys.
See you in 2014.
Yeah. Have a happy new year. And, we'll hopefully be back.
Kisses.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.